Will in your Bibles tonight to Philippians, passage of scripture that we all know, time to reflect and look back a little bit. I think Paul was reflecting back on some things in his life, and he draws the conclusion that all things in life, all things in the world that seem to matter a great deal and cause some of us to think that we've reached the top in living a good, wholesome life, you know, was nothing at all. And he said, if I have any confidence in the flesh, he would truly have confidence more than anyone. So let's look at verse 4 through 14. Philippians chapter 3. I didn't give you that, did I? That's my first mistake today, Doc. But you know, I figured most of y'all knew this passage of scripture. So I was just figuring that, you know. Chapter 3, verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained, nor am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight for this passage of scripture that we can reflect on it in our life and press on. Heavenly Father, we come through many hardships and trials in life, and we face things every day that, you know, we don't know how to deal with. But Lord, through you, you make a way. And God, I just thank you for opening up the passage of scripture to us tonight. Lord, we're familiar with it, but let us see some things that we may have never seen before. Let that light of your understanding open our heart and come into the darkness that might be there. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Circumcised, he said, the eighth day. Descendants. I know that many of us look back at our descendants and see where we come from. Some of us come from some good stock, so to speak, and some not so good. But, you know, Paul says all of this stuff, Abraham, born descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, tribe of Benjamin, all of those things he counted as rubbish for knowing Christ. And he reflects on these things, and, you know, we think sometimes if we can just gain this or gain that, we've succeeded in life, or we made it to the top. A Pharisee means separated one. He knew the law. He kept the law to the very T. Well, I know people that try to go to church, and we try to go to church and give their tithe and give their money and go to Sunday school and read their Bible and things like that. Live moral lives. Paul said, I've done all of those things. I've done all those things. And I count all those things in my life as loss to just knowing Christ. Isn't it good tonight that we can know Christ in our life? I was thinking back this evening, I was sitting there watching when a golf game is slow. And I was kind of reflecting while it was quiet and thinking about things in life that God has blessed us with, and we've moved forward and everything. But when we get to the end of our life, man, I want to be one that knows Christ personally. I want to be one who's lived their life burnt out for Christ Jesus like Paul was. He was completely sold out, and he counted all the former things as just rubbish. And he took all that he counted dear to him and had given it up for the cause of Christ. Now, folks, when we're sold out to God that way, we do count everything that we have, hold it loosely. We all think we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But, you know, we need to be willing to be able to give it away if that's what God calls us to do. Verse 9, and being found in him, being found in Christ, having a righteousness of Christ, not of the law but of Christ, not of works but by faith in Jesus Christ, being found in him. Man, don't you wish you had a faith like that? A faith that you know that you just trusted Jesus Christ and Christ is living in you. And he wants to experience the power. I preached on this several times. The power of God in his life. Knowing that God is blessing every day. I wonder if this week, if we reflect back on it, have we seen Christ's power in our life and something in our life? Think about it. Have you felt God's presence in your life this week? Has he showed himself to you as only God can? He's blessed your life by someone or something, and it's shown in your life. He says he's being brought to a place where his life would radiate the life in the likeness of Christ. Not only in Christ, but in his sufferings and his death. That's what Paul wanted. I think he found that, didn't he? As we reflect on his life, I think he found that when he had finished his life, that he'd given it all to Christ. For he says over in 2 Timothy, and you've heard me preach this at many funerals, he said, I am now ready. My life is being poured out, you see. I'm about to be set sail. He didn't complain that his life had been one of trouble. He didn't complain about his life had been one of imprisoned. He didn't complain that he was beat. He didn't complain that he had been through shipwrecks and stoning. Now, if we was about to die, we'd probably be sitting there saying, God, you know, man, I had a rough time in my life. For you, I spent my latter days in prison for you. But that's not what Paul says. He says, I've fought the fight. You see, I've fought that fight that Christ had laid up there for me. I've run the race, and I've finished my course. I've done everything God's asked me to do. And he didn't complain, did he? Not one bit. He was faithful to the call of Christ. And as I reflect back on that, isn't that what we want in our life when we get through with our living here? That we can come to the end of our life and somebody will say, you know, he was faithful to the call in his life. Oh, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We do things that are displeasing. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just. And he come down to the end of his life, and he said, I've finished the course of my life, and I'm ready. I'm ready to meet God. I'm ready to receive that crown which only the righteous judge will give me at that day. And then I believe he gives us a challenge here. that not only he ran the race, but he says, and all those who love his appearing, all those who serve for Christ can receive that same crown. He said, I want to know him in the resurrection, that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. And not that I've apprehended. And I believe he gives us a challenge in our life. I believe Paul gives us a challenge. And if we're going to live that kind of life, you're going to have to do some things in our life. We're all going to have to do some things in our life. We all have this challenge. And one, we must have a clear focus upon Jesus Christ. We must look to Christ, a clear focus. You know, sometimes we're pulled in every kind of direction. There he is, aren't we? Just about time you want to do something for God, somebody will pull you away from trying to do that. The devil makes sure that there's always somebody there to interfere. If you're trying to do the will of God in your life, there's always going to be that opposition, I guarantee you. That's the reason I said this morning, we need to build our lives on a firm, solid foundation. You know, I can't understand, and I think I went blank. It don't matter. I'm loud enough. This is loud enough. Huh? Okay, good. We've got to have a clear direction in our life. So many times we do things and go here and go there that we lose the main thing in our life. The main thing in our life, God says, is to make disciples and get into the Word of God and grow. You see, it's really hard for an athlete to play more than one kind of game, isn't it? I've watched over the years many athletes, and good athletes. I believe it was Deion Sanders. Didn't he play baseball for a while and football? But you know what? He couldn't be really successful at both of them, goody. It's hard to do more than one thing good. And I believe if we're going to have to have a Christian life, we've got to get our direction going towards Christ and have a clear focus on Jesus Christ. Every moment we've got to look to the cross of Calvary and have our whole mind on the things about Christ. Paul knew his sports, evidently. He believed in sports, and he illustrated many of his writings with sports. In 2 Corinthians 9:24, he says, we all run the race, but only one receives the prize. In Hebrews 12:1-2, he says, we see the word run the race amongst such a great cloud of witnesses. We've got people around us in our life, and we're running that race, and he encourages us to run and have a clear focus on Christ. Don't let things beset us. Don't let those sins fall upon us. You know, some people like to run a race, but they look in the stands. I never will forget, I saw a kid playing basketball one time. It was on one of our son's team when we grew up. We went to games when we grew up, when we had kids. Some of you are going now, your grandkids and stuff, and we'll get there one day pretty soon, I hope. But you know, I was watching one of the boys running down, dribbling a basketball, and he was, you know how parents are, they always yell, that's my boy, or that's somebody, run, babe. And he looked in the stands, and while he was looking in the stands, another kid came along and got the ball. You know, that's the way it is, isn't it? We take our eyes off the goal. We take our minds off the things of Christ for just a little bit. And old Satan comes in there and steals the joy from our life. And Paul says, we can't look up in the stands and run a race or we're going to fall. We've got to have a clear focus on Christ Jesus at all times. Clear focus. We go through life and We're sometimes like a ball. When I grew up, I thought about this too. I don't know. You know, things always look bigger when you're little. We had a hall in our house. And back then, back in the 60s, we built the house, and it had a long hall. It looked long to me. And it was all hardwood floors. And we had a long hall, and my brother and I would put bowling pins up, plastic bowling pins, not real bowling pins, but plastic bowling pins, and we would try to roll that ball bowling down the hall. I can remember that. I liked it. I still like bowling today. But, you know, a lot of times we'd throw that ball, and it'd bounce off this wall and this wall and this wall. If you've had bumpers on your bowling alley, you know what it looks like for little kids. It just rolls each and every direction as it goes down there. And life is like that. Sometimes we hit over here and bounce over here. And the first thing you know, we've lost our goal that we started out with. We've taken our eyes off the master by bouncing from one thing to the other. And I think a lot of Christians are like that. We bounce from one church to another church to another church to another church to another church. You know, when we ought to have a clear focus. What do you want out of church? What do you want out of your life? It's to please God. You see? And we don't need to just bounce off the walls. We've got to get into the Word and study and grow. Most of the time people bounce off from one church to the other because their feelings are hurt. Or something of that order. And they haven't grown. They haven't grown in the Word. And it's only in Christ Jesus, in the study of His Word, that we find direction for our lives. And we can't be listening to everybody in the world. We've got to listen to God. So there's direction. We've got to have a clear focus. And then there's discipline. An athlete, Paul says, you know, if you're going to be disciplined, you've got to get things in training. It's important to train. I don't know of any athlete that ever gets out and prepares to run a race without ever training for it. If you're going to run a marathon, you better train for it. I watch these people on television. They look like they're skin and bones. You know why they look that way? They've run. They're run. The biggest part about them is their legs. And they are able to carry that weight and run those 26 miles. If we're going to grow as Christians, if we're going to make the race to the end of this life and find, well done, thy good and faithful servant, we've got to discipline our minds to read the Bible, to pray, to get in a Bible study time. We can't get enough Bible study just in the preaching hour. It doesn't happen that way. You know, somebody asked me about a year ago now, why do you go to Sunday school? Duh. I hadn't arrived yet. You know, some people think that they can get enough on Sunday morning in the preaching hour. And let me tell you, the shallow ground is there. But the old devil is ready to pluck them away at any time. You see? The important thing is training. And we need to have training in our life. And that takes discipline. Months and months of training. Years and years. If I ask Brother Jay and I ask Brother Bill if they still study the Word of God on a daily basis, I would hear, yes, do. Man, you can't give up. If you quit studying the Bible, you give up. There's always something to learn in the Bible, you see. I like that commercial. Y'all probably seen it if you watch any television. These two women are starting out jogging, and they just jog out of the driveway when one of them says, "Whoa, I got to go home." I'm thinking, that's my type of jogging, you see. drove from one driveway to the other driveway and then go back in. I got to get back in now. I've done my job. You know, a lot of Christians are that way, though. Or a lot of people that go to church are that way. They start out, man, I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. I'm going to come to church. And then make it about two Sundays. And the old devil interferes. And they give up. You see, there's hardships that we've got to endure to complete the race. And man, I tell you what, we face some hardships, don't we? Some of you, you know, you face some hardships. I mean, hardships seem like on every hand. But don't give up. Stay in the race. Clearly focus, discipline yourself. You know, race towards the crown. Race towards that crown. Today it's more than just a gold medal. Today it's Christ Jesus. Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I'm going to forget those things behind and reach forward. Man speaks of forgetting completely the things that are behind. What are you going to forget? Well, let me tell you something. You better forget your past failures. I don't know how many times the old devil will whisper in your ear and says, you've tried that before and you failed. There's no use to try to read your Bible again. You've tried Sunday school and it failed. You know, you don't need to go there. Forget those past failures. Forget the hurts. Well, preacher, somebody hurt me at church the other day. Somebody said something and it offended me. You've got to forget those hurts. You've got to forget the wounds that are there. Somebody, the old devil will make sure that somebody says something to hurt your feelings. But don't go there. Bring them to Christ. Forget them. Let go of those things. You passed. Paul says, when we were a child, we thought as a child. But now that you're older, you don't think like a child anymore. And the minute we turn our eyes and the minute we get our things off of Christ and on the fellow man and on the things other than God, we fall short, don't we? Discouragement. There's no telling how many times if I had to quit because of discouragement, I'd have done been quit. Because we get discouraged all the time. It's good to be encouraged, though, isn't it? It's good to be encouraged. Pride, you see, a desire for praise, all of these things hinder us in the race of life. And Paul says, you've got to forget about those things. Do all we can and leave it up to God. And then he says, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call to God. I think of an athlete, a good athlete, running a race, stretching towards that goal line, leaning with all he's got towards that goal line. Folks, as the older we get, the closer we get to the end of this life, we need to have our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Fixed upon Jesus. And stretch with all we have. Lean towards that goal. Clear focus, discipline. You see, sometimes we think since, well, we're getting older, we're no good anymore. No, I think you're the cream of the crop when you get older. I think when you finish your race or getting to the end of your race, finish it well. Finish it well. Don't give up. Don't fall out. Don't quit. It's easy to say, well, I've done my part. No matter tell how many times somebody said, you know, preacher, when I was young, I taught those kids, and I've done my part. And I want to say, no, no, no. The only time you finish your part is when God takes you. Don't quit. Why do you want to quit? you've got so much knowledge as in your in, as you get towards the older you get, supposed to be wiser, you know. I find that sometimes hard to believe, but you're supposed to be wiser. You've got so much to give these little kids here. So much to give the high school kids and junior high kids. All they need is somebody to set a good example. They need a Paul that runs the race and stretches all the way to the end with his eyes fixed on Jesus, not the world, on Jesus. And that's what he said. I press on to the goal. Maybe you've fallen. We all fall sometimes, don't we? But you know what? We get up. We get up and we confess where we messed up and press on. Maybe there's pains. Don't think for a moment Paul didn't know pain. But he said it's worth it all. It's worth it all to reach the goal. Now, Paul knew when he reached heaven that crown was going to be there. That word from Jesus, well done. Man, what a victory. What a victory to be faithful all the way to the end. You see, nothing left, nothing more to give. I watched one of the marathons not long back running, trying out, and that guy run, the leader was running. He was ahead of everybody else, but he ran with all he had. There was nothing left. And when he got to the finish line, he ran over the finish line, and next thing you know, he was laying on the ground. He didn't have any more. He had given everything he had to the goal line, to make that goal, to make that time. And I'm wondering if we're not bearing down upon the end of our life or upon the end of the ministry or upon the end of whatever we're doing, upon that goal, and we see Jesus if we're slacking up. Give it all. Give it all. Don't leave anything back here. You know, give it all to God. Paul knew this little phrase, life with its way before us lies. Christ is a path, and Christ is Christ. You reflect back over your life. You reflect back over the things you've done. Are you giving it all to God? You see, we don't have long, do we? I said this morning, the end is coming close. Well, you know, the Bible says life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's just like that. Your life may be over tomorrow. I don't know. Mine may be over tomorrow. We don't know. Next Sunday morning, I'm preaching on that very subject. We don't know how long we've got, so let's run with all we've got while we can and win somebody to Christ. Leave a good example. Run that race with nothing left, but well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you've blessed us with a message of Christ. You blessed us with a story to tell to the nations. You blessed us with people to go see and talk to about you. Lord, I pray that if we're running our race and we're here tonight and we've been kind of haphazard about it, we've been looking off to the sides and got delayed and turned around, and Lord, I pray tonight we'll get back up, forget the past, confess it, and get it right with God so we can finish with everything we have. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.